Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Meriwether and Tharp, your source for Georgia divorce. Find them online at theatlantadivorceteam.com.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
So yesterday there was kind of an interesting moment during the Georgia Pro Day. Georgia coach Kirby Smart was interviewed as the Pro Day was going on. I don't have audio to play for you of this, but it was, you know, fairly short. So Smart was kind of asked about, hey, how are things going, first day of spring practice, everything else. And in the midst of this conversation, Smart says, well, right now we're just really looking for our team identity. We're trying to find out what that's going to be. And he went on to talk about, you know, kind of why and what and everything else. And admittedly, sometimes when Kirby says things like this, it makes me just a little bit nervous because, as I've said before, it ought to be clear what your team identity is if you want to match what the Alabamas, the Clemsons, the Ohio States, the teams like that have done in recent years. You've got to be as explosive as they are on offense. That means explosive plays, 20-plus yard passing plays, 40-plus points per game on a regular basis. That's got to be the identity of the program. And to a certain extent, defensively, you got to be getting after quarterbacks and getting sacks because that's also what really good teams do. But if you want to really match the identity of what the very best teams in the country have done, it ought to be easy for you to know what our identity needs to be, just as explosive as they are offensively, just as dynamic as they are with negative plays defensively. That ought to be easy for you to understand, really, right? And on the offensive side of this, you know, it ought to be easy to project that image onto your team because this is the kind of thing that Kirby Smart has done really well before. When Smart wants to instill a mantra, he seems to stop at no lengths to get that done, right? Remember 2017, the whole idea of we're going to keep chopping wood, and that was the phrase that Smart used over and over and over again. We became very well versed in that. Keep the main thing the main thing. We heard Smart say that over and over again. Remember after the 2017 season, there was the idea that Georgia wanted to do more in the future year, and we heard that phrase "do more" used over and over and over again. SEC media days there in Birmingham really kind of, you know, just driving that into the brains of everybody who was listening. Then there was spring 2019 when the topic of havoc rate came up, and I wrote about this the other day. You know, J.R. Reed saying that at the safety at the time, saying that everybody in that meeting room had to sort of stand up and say what havoc rate was and talk about how they wanted to do that. That Kirby Smart has used repeated phrasing as a way of instilling an idea into his team and projecting that through the media. So if you want to really establish the proper identity for 2021, then why not just say it out loud? We want to score points at the same rate the very best teams in the country do. We want to match what Alabama has done offensively. We want to be as explosive as Clemson's been for a great number of years. Ohio State has been here in recent years. We want to do that. That's the identity we want to establish for our team. And as we've said before, if Georgia will openly talk about that, the chances of achieving that, I believe, are just greater if you acknowledge that's the goal here at the outset of all of this. So with that kind of said, I actually felt really good about that by the end of the day, because by the end of the day, Kirby Smart was interviewed again on the SEC network, and this time it was after the pro day was over, and this time kind of settling in, and instead of talking briefly about spring practice in the midst of also talking about his guys going through pro day, now he was just kind of settled in to talk only about Georgia going through spring practice. And if I kind of start the show with the premise of saying, hey, the identity of the Georgia Bulldogs needs to be explosive offense, as explosive as what the very best teams in the country have done in recent years, and to gain that identity, you have to talk about that openly. What Smart said to our buddy Matt Stinchcomb yesterday after Georgia's pro day, I have to say, is a step in that direction because it is at least a very positive line of discussion from Smart about the offense and kind of where things stand right now. So if you're looking for Georgia to establish the same identity that the very best teams have had in recent years, some of Smart's words yesterday to the SEC network, I believe, are a step in that direction, including the acknowledgement right now that this offense is ahead of this defense and certainly way ahead of where it was in 2020, this Kirby from yesterday.
We're a long way ahead of where we were last year. I can promise you that. I mean, maybe that's the most underrated statement of the day, but just after one practice, for them to start and be able to do things that we couldn't do. We couldn't do it until fall camp last year. You know, it was like we couldn't line up. We couldn't get this formation. So they're at a really good pace of install. We have some young, talented players on offense we're trying to make sure we utilize, but they're really far ahead of where we were last year, and they're further ahead of our defense right now.
I mean, listen, I like that willingness from Smart there to just be positive about it. And listen, I think we've all said, I know on this show we've said over and over again, that if you kind of compare where we were a year ago, forget the fact that the coronavirus took spring practice off the table. It's a great luxury for Georgia to have that again this year. But even prior to the pandemic, there was the question of who the offensive coordinator was going to be. And there was the question of who the Georgia quarterback was going to be. There were all these unknowns with the offense. It was really kind of a... It was kind of a tough conversation last offseason, right? There were a bunch of unanswered questions coming on the heels of Georgia really being, you know, pretty mediocre offensively in 2019. To say now, year over year, you're established at OC. I think Georgia fans are happy with Todd Monken. You're established at quarterback with JT Daniels. The way that he played in the final games of the 2020 season give you the idea that he can be really good going forward. It is a more positive conversation now. And the fact that Smart is willing to engage in that positivity, I think it's a pretty good thing. I mean, listen, we all know about the concept of rat poison, right? This is the phrase that Nick Saban made famous a couple of years ago about, hey, when you guys, talking about media, blowhards like me who speak into a microphone for a living, when you guys say all these good things about these players, that's just rat poison. We have to keep that out of the program. But I would humbly suggest that not every compliment is rat poison, right? I mean, not every positive thing is necessarily some sort of, you know, poison that you have to stamp out of your program. Every now and then, it's kind of nice to acknowledge, yeah, you know what? We do have a lot of talent. And there are some questions about how you get those playmakers involved. And there are some questions about how you take that next step. But frankly, it is kind of nice to have continuity offensive coordinator, continuity now, it appears, with starting quarterback, weapons for that guy to throw to. It is kind of nice to do that. Now, I will say that Smart is probably a little more free, for whatever reason, to say that with Matt Stinchcomb on the network of the SEC network than he might be in a typical press conference. But nonetheless, I think it's just really good that he's saying those kinds of things for the very reason that I mentioned off the top of the program, that if you want to establish your identity and match the identities that have led to national championships in recent seasons, being happy that the offense is kind of clicking and humming here, at least after one day of spring practice, is probably a good thing. And that also extends, I would say, as well to the quarterback. You know, the other day when Kirby Smart was asked about JT Daniels, you know, Smart didn't want to set Daniels out from the rest of the pack when it comes to the team, that it's not just JT Daniels, you know, going through spring practice for the first time. It's everybody kind of in that same mold. In other words, the subtext from that potentially being that Daniels is a player no different from any other on this roster. But we kind of know that's not really true, right? I mean, we see the impact that quarterback made for Bama in 2020, that it made for LSU with Joe Burrow in 2019. Trevor Lawrence is a freshman at Clemson in 2018, and on and on and on you go. The quarterback is the most important position in this sport, and arguably it's the most important single position in any sport of any that you could potentially care about or talk about. Quarterback just has outsized value. And if you have a good one as a team, you are just set up for more chances of success than the other way around. There may have been a time in which that was not true in college football, but that is not the world we live in anymore. The quarterback matters, and Georgia having a quarterback that has the potential that JT Daniels seems to possess is certainly a really good thing. And Smart was also pretty complimentary yesterday on the SEC network when he talked about JT. This is Kirby on how the quarterback factors into all of this and the pace with which the offense is moving here in the early stages of spring practice, after practice one anyway. Kirby again from the SEC network.
That's huge for us, that carryover effect. You know, we haven't had that in a while. Obviously, we were very fortunate with Jake for a while to have that kind of continuity factor. And now, JT, you feel like you have that. It was a small portion we got to see, but he certainly improved. He got more comfortable in our system. I think Monken's system and JT match up well because it gives him the freedom to do some things at the line, which that's his strength. His mobility has improved this offseason. He's been able to move around, condition himself with the knee. So we're excited to see where it goes.
So listen, I've said this before, that what you think about, you speak about, and what you speak about, you do have the power to bring about. And for Georgia, that means talking about what everybody understands. There is a huge need to upgrade on offense. And with Monken in place and JT Daniels in place and the talent at wide receiver and Darnell Washington looking like one of the next great tight ends and, you know, a stable of running backs that's the envy of the rest of the college football world, there is nothing wrong with saying, yes, we've got the talent to go out and get this job done, so bring on the expectations. College football in the modern age of 2021 is about scoring points. It's about doing it on a regular basis. It's about doing it against the best competition that you play, and that's the world in which Georgia is ready to enter. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging that to be true, because frankly, that's the reality that Georgia is facing this upcoming season, and it's done the work to acquire the talent to give it itself a chance to go out there and get that done. So Smart speaking as positively as he did yesterday about the state of his current offense, at least after one spring practice, I personally think is a step in the right direction. My name's Brandon Evans, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Meriwether and Tharp, and glad to have you with us no matter how you get to us today. All kinds of video platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch. Great to have all of you watching the show, listening, all the podcast platforms, the Apple Player, the Google Player, Spotify, worldfamousdognation.com. Many of you listening directly right there on SoundCloud. However you get to us there on that. Of course, don't forget we have another edition of our R.S. Andrews podcast, Cooldown. Your chance to have questions and comments on this show, just as soon as we're done on podcast today, the same way we have on video for quite some time. And, of course, radio with our friends in Athens on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. Really appreciate all of you being with us here today as well. And a big, big thanks to Meriwether and Tharp, your source for Georgia Divorce, for making it all possible. You know, listen, the divorce process is a scary and confusing thing. The idea of a divorce is also a scary and confusing thing. And listen, if you can save your relationship, you definitely should. You should do the work to do that. But many of you kind of find a situation that's become untenable. Well, there's a next step that you have to take in the event that that's true for you. And if it is, of course, I'm sorry to say that for you. But I can very, very confidently say that the process of making yourself whole again, making your relationship with your children, your family whole again, restoring your finances, it can all be made better by the great work that my friends at Meriwether and Tharp can do for you. They have all kinds of free resources available for you on their website. They have a free initial consultation you can make with one of their attorneys, and you can really get some of those big, you know, heavy, weighty questions about what the divorce process is going to be personally like for you. They can provide answers. You've got questions. They've got answers when it comes to the divorce process. They're your source for Georgia Divorce. You can find them online, theatlantadivorceteam.com. That website, once again, theatlantadivorceteam.com. All right, we're going to get Terrence Edwards, the former Georgia wide receiver, here coming up in just a moment. What's it like for these guys who went through pro day yesterday? What's the early buzz about spring practice? We'll do all of that with Terrence here coming up in just a moment. Before that, though, I want to go around the doghouse and want to spend some time on the other side of the football. Just talked a moment ago about what I thought was kind of a refreshing dose of positivity from Kirby Smart about the state of his offense, being ahead of where it was a year ago, continuity offensive coordinator, settled at quarterback, chance to involve some playmakers. You love to hear all of that. Admittedly, there is probably a few more unanswered questions right now related to the defense, but it doesn't mean there isn't also the chance for some emphatic answers there as well. And a couple of the potential names in terms of big seasons defensively, Smart actually mentioned by name yesterday when he was talking to Matt Stinchcomb about what is to be done and what is to be learned about the Georgia defense. This from Kirby Smart, SEC Network yesterday. Also very interesting. Take a listen to this as we go around the doghouse.
We're going to find out. I mean, I feel like we've got some really good run stoppers up front. Who's going to be the Aziz on the edge? Who's going to be the dominant rusher on the edge? Is that going to be able to be Nolan? Is it going to be by committee? Is it going to be by scheme? How are we going to be able to use Adam Anderson, who we think is a really hard guy to block, but we got to find ways to use him and get him on the field? And then the most obvious question is, who's going to replace the DBs? You know, we had a lot of experience leave, and I don't have those answers yet. I'm one practice in, and it's going to be interesting to find that out.
So Kirby Smart almost giving you a good sort of soundbody, analytical type, you know, analyst, TV analyst type answer there, kind of summing up the big storylines for the Georgia defense. I think that's really good. I like that a lot from Smart. I also think it's interesting that he mentions Adam Anderson and Nolan Smith by name there, because I think we do know how important they are for this team. I've said weeks ago that I thought that that Nolan Smith was arguably the most important player on this roster, because when you do look at the absence of Aziz Ojulari, someone stepping in and having that big pass rush season, if anything, building off of what was a very good pass rush year for Georgia a year ago, I don't know, with all due respect to Adam Anderson, I don't know that anybody is in a better position to take that big leap forward than what Smith, because he was the former number one recruit for the class 2019. You know, I don't know that anyone's in a better position than him to do that. And Smart says, let's find out. Let's find out if Nolan is ready to shoulder that role, if Adam Anderson is ready to shoulder that role. As folks have said on the show, I think it was David Pollack last week, that, you know, big seasons from Anderson, big seasons from Nolan can take some of the pressure off this Georgia secondary, who's trying to work into form and trying to figure some things out. Pass rush, enables those growing pains that the defensive secondary might go through to not quite be a significant, a potential erasure for some of the issues that the secondary might have. And Smart says we're going to find out all about this. Someone who yesterday, by the way, did speak a little bit more confidently on this subject, maybe just because they're his friends and he wants to tout them, or maybe he really believes that way, the always animated Azeez Ojulari, who, as Kirby Smart said, was a tremendous pass rushing force for Georgia in the 2020 season. When Ojulari looks at what's still here at Georgia, with him now gone for the 2021 upcoming year, Ojulari says, yeah, Georgia fans, I think, are going to like the pass rush they see from the guys who are ready to fill in for the void that Ojulari now leaves. This is great stuff from Azeez. Georgia fans will love it.
There's going to be a whole lot of sacks coming this fall for sure. They let Nolan and Adam, and don't sleep on Bill too. They let those boys get off the edge. It's going to be a dangerous fight. That there's going to be a whole lot of sacks coming this season. I promise you that. Adam's so fast. Bill's strength, first step. Nolan, quickness, strength. I'm telling you, man, if they let those boys loose, it's going to be a crazy fall in Athens, man, for sure.
Sometimes when players speak, you never quite know the names they're going to mention. A little bit of a shout-out for the Tennessee 3 there, which you kind of like to see. I think that's kind of a nice thing there from Azeez Ojulari. Pretty fun stuff all the way around. But obviously, in the case of Adam Anderson, Nolan Smith, you certainly hope what Azeez says turns out to be true. And you can imagine how much great success Georgia can enjoy if that indeed is the case. Now, to be fair here for a moment, this kind of thing of the guys who are still left at Georgia, they're going to be great. Wait till y'all see what these guys are going to do. That's a fairly common line of, comment from former Georgia players. We've done this kind of thing at Pro Day before. Sometimes it becomes true, sometimes it does. And I honestly compels me to kind of admit that. But it's still really fun to hear Ojulari talk as openly and as enthusiastically as he does about what these pass rushers might be able to do. You certainly hope that's the case, and you'll continue to watch for the development of guys like Nolan and Anderson on that here this spring. So really fun stuff there. Of course, spring coverage continues throughout the weekend here at DogNation.com. But for now, I want to turn our attention to, kind of what it was like to be in a pro day environment like yesterday and kind of how things might be going here as spring practice gets rocking and rolling for UGA. So here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Meriwether and Tharp, let's do that with a great voice on all these subjects and a whole lot more. It's the former Georgia wide receiver, Terrence Edwards.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
We'll say to Terrence Edwards here, as I said before, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Meriwether and Tharp. And Terrence, I certainly appreciate you being with us here today. And it was so interesting to hear. We heard Azeez Ojulari there a moment ago. For all these Georgia players who go through, that moment, pro day, to demonstrate what they can do at the NFL level, I can only imagine the nerves they must have trying to fight that off, the anxiety, the pressure to perform in a way that maybe doesn't really exist for a regular game because you're actually out there doing it, as I think Ojulari said it with us on Monty Rice who said this with us on video the other day, kind of a million-dollar job interview. Terrence, what must the pressure be like for these guys who experienced that environment at UGA's Pro Day yesterday?
It's a great pressure. I mean, you try to be perfect on every rep, on every catch, on everything that you're trying to do. You're trying to be perfect. You just think this is the job interview of a lifetime. This is something I've been prepping for and dreaming about since I started playing football, and the opportunity is here. So I have to be perfect. All my training, all my late-night workouts, early morning workouts is here, and I have to go out and show my best. And it's nerve-wracking, but once you get into it, you just settle down. As I've been doing this all my life. I'm put my best foot forward, and whatever happens after that happens.
Yeah, I would imagine there's almost an attempt not to be too perfect, right? I mean, I've heard people say this with, the Super Bowl, for instance, that first play, you get the butterflies in your stomach, opening kickoff, whatever else. But after that, you just start settling in and playing. And obviously, in athletics, that's what you want to do, right? You want to get out of your head and just kind of start doing what comes natural to you. But given the fact that so much of a good 40 time is about the form with which you run, and the drill work is about the mechanics of how you perform in that, I would imagine for a lot of these players, it can be easy to kind of get in your own head about that and think too much about the procedure and not just get out there and do what you've been doing your entire life, which is just instinctively performing on a football field. Putting yourself in the right mindset, I would imagine, is as important as anything, right?
Oh, most definitely. At the end of the day, we could go and try to perfect the 40-yard dash or the L drill or my back pedal or my starts and stances as a receiver. But at the end of the day, just let loose and go play ball. And the mindset that you have to have. It's easier said than done because you have so many eyes on you and you want to be perfect. But after the first drill, after the first quarter, you just let loose and just go have fun at the end of the day. It only takes one team to like you. And if you impress one team, that's where you're going to get drafted. And I don't care if it's the first round or the seventh round. This is a dream come true, a job interview that these players have been waiting on all their lives.
A lot of guys, I think, really added to their NFL draft stock yesterday. A guy who probably did not have as good a day as he would have liked to have had was the former Georgia safety Richard LeCount. You know, still trying to get back from an injury he sustained because of an accident that took him off the field and prematurely ended his final season there at Georgia, and could have impacted his 40-yard dash time and stuff like that yesterday. And I know that LeCount was quick to make folks remember, hey, you know, judge me by what I did on a football field. You know, I've been putting it out there, good game film now for a number of years. And, you know, Terrence, as a former player yourself, I'm wondering how frustrating do you think it is for a guy like LeCount who – And really, there are a lot of players who are in the same boat of who feel like they have had, you know, good game film and have shown that they are high-level performers in the toughest league of all in college football. But, you know, now he's kind of got the issue related to the accident kind of hanging over his head maybe just a little bit. And certainly the measurables that come up at a pro day that kind of become a big part of the conversation for these NFL personnel types. How frustrating it is for these players sometimes when it almost feels like the game tape, the thing that in my mind I think ought to matter the most, sometimes seems to matter less than some of this other stuff.
I understand exactly what Richard is going through. My senior year in 2002, you know, I hurt my shoulder that made me miss the Auburn game. Then in the Senior Bowl, I hurt my foot playing in the Senior Bowl. So I didn't have the opportunity to really prepare for the 40-yard dash and the rest of the drills like I would like to. And I didn't run as fast as I would like at that point in time. And I think, fortunately enough, that cost me to go undrafted. But I look at my game tape, look at my film, look at all the guys that are getting drafted that I played against and had success against. And Rich is one of those football players. He is a football player. His IQ of the game is way more than his physical abilities. He understands football. And if you can find a team, there will be a team that just watches his film and, like, this is a football player. His game speed is probably going to be better than his 40 speed. And you just need one team to believe in that guy. And once he gets an opportunity to go to camp, he's going to make the best of it because he is just a football player.
Turning our attention to spring practice for a moment, Kirby Smart talked about this on the SEC Network yesterday, that for the offense to have continuity now at offensive coordinator year over year and seemingly established with its starting quarterback right now, obviously playmakers who are themselves also now a year older too. It certainly seems like, and Smart acknowledged this yesterday, that the offense is in a far different kind of position than it was a year ago when so many of these questions were still unanswered. How much more of a chance does that give Georgia for ultimate success this season, and how much more energy does that provide for the spring practice when the offense is kind of clicking, they are working efficiently, at least that's the description that it seems like we've been getting thus far, in terms of challenging the defense to be at their best and just creating the overall energy the program needs right now?
I think it's big that you got the same offensive coordinator going in with the same quarterback with all of the same skill position guys. So they understand what it's going to be like and the expectations that Todd Monken is going to look for a veteran group of guys now, because there are the more veteran group of the team. And it's just going to help the defense. We have a lot of younger defensive back that is very talented but inexperienced. And going against these type of receivers, I don't think they will go up against a better group, overall group, than what they would see every day in practice. So that's just going to bode well for them once they get into a game-like situation. Yes, games a little different than practice, but if you're going against the likes of George Pickens and Jermaine Burton, Kyrus Jackson, Danelle Washington, and all the backs that we have, then the game should be much easier because practice is much harder, in my opinion, than a game. The focus is much different. So those guys are going to get tested and get tested early.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. We talked about this the other day related to the sort of the established nature of the defensive line, maybe pushing the offensive line to get better. And you know, this is kind of the opposite version of that. The continuity that Georgia has offensively may be a challenge for the defense that's breaking in so many new guys and expanded roles this year. It's one of the biggest cliches around football that iron sharpens iron, but sometimes cliches become true for a reason because they really are, you know, the kind of thing that has been borne out over a number of years, that when you got the offense, if it is truly firing on all cylinders, all of a sudden, if you're a defensive player, especially a defensive back with the quarterback wide receiver combo that you're working against, all of a sudden you do have to raise your level and make sure that you're all squared away, chin strap buckled, to go out there and compete at the highest level, right?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, these guys need to compete. I think the receivers really need to challenge the defensive backs, and the defensive backs need to take that challenge on because this is a talented group of guys, and if you could go in and battle these guys during spring practice, then going into a game, you can have that confidence that if I could cover and compete against the likes of the guys that we have offensively, then they're going into the game. They just got to understand the game plan, understand what they're trying to achieve, and just go and compete. And that would give them confidence going against the offensive players that we have. They're going into a game that I can compete against the best. Now I just got to show my talent and show the world what we can do.
One of the things that Kirby Smart mentioned yesterday during a press conference that he did after the Pro Day was the leaders that are emerging for Georgia right now. And he mentioned some of the names you'd expect, obviously senior running backs like James Cook, Zamir White. We understand why they get mentioned by Smart because of the importance that we all assume they have for the team. But in listening to him speak yesterday, Terrence, I actually gravitated back towards something that you said on the show a couple of weeks ago. And I've brought this up a few times since then. I just think it's a really interesting point that when you compared, and we did this in the show a couple of weeks ago, you know, Georgia this year to what it had in 2017, and we talked about, you know, the senior running backs back then, guys like Nick Chubb, Sony Michel, and what they provided for that 2017 team. And you brought up a great point that no one would dispute that Jake Fromm was a valuable player for Georgia as a freshman quarterback in 2017, but he was a freshman and hard for that quarterback to take on the mantle of leadership when he's fresh out of high school like that. That's obviously a very different situation for JT Daniels this year. That's a class of 2018 guy. That's a guy that's been around college football for a while now. And you said something that I thought was very interesting the other day, that Georgia has a chance to have that kind of rare level of leadership that can come when one of your most vocal leaders is your starting quarterback. For the folks who may have missed that the other day, and now that Georgia is in spring practice now, maybe this is a relevant topic once again, would you just kind of remind us of what can be true for Georgia if Daniels does emerge as one of this team's key leaders this season, viewed that way by the other players? What does Georgia stand to gain from that?
It's big. Like we talked about with the Roquan, and that 2017 team was led really by the defensive players and the older guys. And the quarterback was – I wouldn't say he was there long for the ride because he did his part. But it's just different when your quarterback is a leader. It just hits a little different when everyone believes that – if the chips get down, we have a guy that can lead us. I mean, just prime example, Tom Brady went to the Bucs, and his leadership, even though he was there 1 year, he's still Tom Brady, and he brings a wealth of leadership and experience that the team rallied behind and believed in. And when you have a team that believes in your quarterback and believe in his play, it both and provides a different type of energy that the team would carry on to the, you know, in the game when the times get tough. They believe that this guy can lead us to where we need to be. And that's exactly what happened with Tom Brady this year. I mean, Jameis Winston threw for a lot of yards, but he also turned the ball over a lot. And that team didn't believe once we got down. I don't think they truly believed that Jameis could lead them to where they need to. But Tom brought a different type of leadership because his resume was different. And now that JT is the guy and everyone saw what he can do on the biggest stage, we believe that every game that we're going to go into next year, that we're going to win because we have a quarterback that can lead us, and everyone else will fall in line.
So that's really interesting. And as a wide receiver yourself, I mean, what is it that you're looking for from a quarterback? Do you want to like have a lot of rah-rah emotional type stuff, or do you want, you know, to see him demonstrate command of the playbook? I mean, as a guy that caught a lot of passes from wide receivers during your college career, what is it that you're looking for to see from a quarterback that would make you believe that he really is ready to be the kind of leader that a Tom Brady-level quarterback can be for a program?
They're all different types of leaders, man. They're all diving. David Green wasn't that in-your-face rah-rah, but he was that calm and demeanor that kept us calm, kept the team calm. That was his leadership style. So whatever leadership style JT has, the team just needs and will believe in him. Those look totally two different. So I can't sit here and say which one is better, because David was the leader of our team, but it was because he had this common demeanor about him that everything was going to be all right. We're going to get it done. We had some more vocal leaders, but his leadership style, and it worked for us. So whatever leadership style JT needs to be, whatever leadership style his personality leads it to be, that's what he should be. But his team will understand that it's not fake and it's real. You can tell the difference between a fake leader and a real leader. And I believe JT's personality, whatever that is, because I've never met the young man, whatever his personality is, it will lead and the team will follow.
Boy, Terrence, that's really fascinating stuff. I appreciate you explaining that in as much detail as you did. And as we say goodbye to you here, for folks who want to get some more of what you're doing, you know, obviously working with these next generation of pass catchers at the high school, college level, and beyond that even, how can folks get in touch with the Wide Receiver Training Academy that you have really done such great work for a number of years? How can folks find out more about that?
Well, you can find me on all social media at Terrence Edwards Wide Receiver Academy. That's Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Terrence, great stuff. Thanks for being here, and I look forward to talking to you here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Meriwether and Tharp, again very soon.
Thank you for having me, B.A.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
That is really interesting to me from Terrence Edwards. I think that's so fascinating how he talks about, as a wide receiver himself, what he wants to see from a quarterback. And you know, the point that I made before is I'm a big believer that football is a very different kind of sport than others when it comes to kind of what it takes to become a leader. You know, you see this in the NBA all the time where, hey, you got a team that's on the rise, you got some young starters, and there'll be, a veteran guy who's maybe won championships before who's kind of signed to be a bench player, role player, and the hope is, well, that guy will have some influence on some of these younger guys. You can do that in basketball, it seems. You can bring in the aging veteran and have him still be a leadership presence for a basketball team. Sometimes in baseball, it's like the backup catcher is like 41 years old. He's played for 17 teams over the course of a 20-year career, and everybody just kind of goes to him and, you know, asks questions. And you know, he may not be a very good player anymore, but, man, he's a great locker room guy. It seems like in baseball, there's a lot of great locker room guys or clubhouse guys that, you know, you don't necessarily have to be an all-star player to do that. I am of the belief that football, because of how physical the game is, and because of how, I mean, when you're out there and playing, you're really putting your life on the line when you're going out there to play, that the trust that it takes to become a leader, I would say in football, that only comes from players who are playing the game at the high level. The idea of the aging veteran in the NBA or the, you know, the guy on the downward slope of his career in Major League Baseball, that doesn't really exist in football. To earn the credibility to lead in football, you have to be a good player as well as a vocal leader. And so therefore, from Daniel's standpoint, the more he shows command of that offense, the more that he's distributing the football to all these playmakers who want to get fed and want to, you know, go on to the NFL futures, the more he has the platform necessary to provide the kind of leadership that Terrence Edwards just describes there. I think that's really, really, really good stuff. All right, before we do our SEC through, quick shout out to my friends at Engineered Solutions of Georgia, foundation and waterproofing. Listen, when it comes to the waterproofing part of this, you know that that's been put to the test last couple of days, raining very hard and for a sustained amount of time here in the Atlanta area. That means some of you see those wet spots, those water leakage situations showing up in all the, you know, normal places, the basement, the crawl space, the garage, everything else. Get that fixed before that becomes a bigger problem. Also, for those of you that see those cracks show up in the foundation, you know you need to do something about that. Let me put you in touch with a business that's really fun to do business with. I'm talking about Engineered Solutions of Georgia. They're proud partners of UGA. They're good friends of ours here at Dog Nation for a long time. Been with us here on Dog Nation Daily for a while. I'm really proud of that. I'm also very, very confident in recommending them to you because they have two full-time engineers on staff. Smart people to do great work. Proud partners of UGA. What else do you need? Easy number to dial there as well. Call 678-ESOG now. That's right, 678-ESOG now. That'll get you in touch with Engineered Solutions of Georgia. All right, SEC through here just for a moment before my music runs out. So let me mention a couple things here. I've said before that the theme of 2021 is the world of sports, college football in particular, getting back to normal. Not normal today, but normal eventually. And there's certainly a lot of positive signs we're heading that direction. But just when you kind of get used to all the ways in which things are starting to look more normal, a pro day for Georgia yesterday, as a for instance on this, having not been able to do that a year ago, You do get these occasional reminders that, no, we are still in that kind of pandemic world. And an example of that coming from Tennessee football practice, a team that you got to imagine feels like they need as much spring practice as they can get, but they're forced to pause things right now. And I guess the best I can tell is there's a combination of positive tests in the athletic department overall, staffers, athletes as well. This does impact football, but not all the cases of positives here are necessarily related to football, according to what I'm reading here from the Knoxville News Sentinel. But it's enough right now that Tennessee is having to push pause on the spring practice situation. So still dealing with a little bit of what we've been dealing with a lot in 2020, which is the postponements and the cancellations of things. In this case, it's not a cancellation. It's just kind of a pause button for now. But Tennessee trying to figure that out as it gets ready to go in spring practice. And by the way, we do have spring practice now in a number of spots around the league. Auburn's getting going. They have an open practice for fans on Saturday. Tennessee here, Ed Orgeron kind of speaking to preview the start of LSU spring practice here this week. Florida's been going for a while. I think it's Missouri has a spring game on Saturday. I think Missouri has a spring game here this week. So I can only imagine how not spring-like it must be in Como right now. But I believe that Missouri is doing a spring game coming up on Saturday there as well. So we're in the midst of that, but Tennessee dealing with some issues. Speaking of spring games, SEC Network did come out with an announcement yesterday about its television situation for all of that, or the lack of TV, I guess, is the bigger way to put this. We talked about this with Mike Griffith yesterday. So Alabama is the only team in the SEC that's getting over-the-air broadcast television treatment. They'll get ESPN for their spring game. Every other spring game this year is on SEC Network Plus. And I'm just strained to figure out exactly why this is, other than some of the same things that, some of the broadcasters who've been on our show over the course of the last year have talked about, which is just that the TV product right now around sports is just different than it once was. And maybe this is an example of that. I don't know that you need the big full production truck to do the game on the streaming video. You might not. I honestly don't know about that one way or another. But, broadcasters from their home, in some cases fewer camera angles, in some cases just less TV than we're used to getting. This, to me, is kind of worth paying attention to. As I said off the top of this segment about the return to normalcy, I wonder how much of the, fans who tune in to watch this stuff realize from a TV standpoint just how different some of what you're watching is from what it's been, before. And maybe this is the example of that streaming video for all of the SEC teams, with the exception of Alabama, kind of an example of that in the kind of hopes that sports gets back to normal soon. Boy, the TV coverage and all of this is an area where that is certainly not the same right now. You're not getting the same TV product that you got pre-pandemic right now. And I guess ESPN networks like that trying to cut corners, save money everywhere they can. Maybe that's also an example of this. I finally want to mention this story, and I briefly alluded to this yesterday. Brandon Marcello, 247sports.com. Very provocative headline. With due respect to Marcello here, I don't quite know that the story paid off on the headline. The headline, 247sports.com, how Dan Mullen is closing the recruiting gap on Georgia. You read the article, you don't really see a lot of evidence to support the idea that Mullen has closed the recruiting gap, other than obviously the fact that Mullen won the game head-to-head against Georgia a year ago. But one of the reasons why Georgia will be picked by virtually all media to win the SEC East again for the 2021 season is because of the perceived talent advantage that Georgia has there. This is not new turf for us. This is familiar ground. We've been here before. But it is just so amazing to me. Obviously, Mullen is a very big believer in himself. We've talked about some of his, asinine boasts before. And there's a lot of folks in the media that seem to believe this about Mullen. But I'm not even sure at this point in time Florida fans even believe that. I mean, listen, I try to keep my ear to the ground for what fans are saying, not just among UGA, but across the board all over the place. The idea that Dan Mullen is closing the gap. I mean, go look at a bunch of Florida fans and see them congregate, any kind of online forum, whether it be social media, message board, whatever else. That's not the prevailing thought right now among Florida fans. Mullen is less popular with his own fans right now than he is with many folks around the media. One of the points that Marcello did make in the story is that Mullen has kind of continued his theme of being an overachiever at Florida, much the same way he was at Mississippi State. Here's the thing you got to understand. There is no such thing at overachieving a place like Florida. It's championship or bust. And I guess it's good that Mullen won the East last year, but for Florida fans, that's not going to be enough. The same way that at a place like Georgia, over the course of the long haul, that's not enough at a place like this either. There is no such thing as overachieving. You can't exceed expectations because expectations are so high, there is nothing above that to really strive for. So very interesting how even in a year like this, where Florida doesn't seem to have on paper what it had a season ago, the narrative around Mullen from what I'll call national media, very, very different than it is on the scene there in Gainesville, and certainly Gator haters have their eye on that. We will make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Merriweather and Tharp, I want to kind of get back into the theme of Georgia here for a moment. What happened at Pro Day yesterday, and I've said before, you know, obviously I root for Georgia, but on a day like Pro Day, it is very easy to have that rooting interest really even come out even more because you know what's at stake for the guys who want to go out there and impress and do things NFL scouts are going to notice. And when Georgia coach Kirby Smart spoke during a press conference yesterday, he did acknowledge that for just about everybody who comes through the Georgia program, the idea of being on that platform, impressing these NFL scouts is something they come to a place like Georgia to be able to do. This is what Smart said about that yesterday.
The most important thing to me is that we develop them as men of character, get a great education, graduate. But I'm also cognizant of their ambitions. And their ambitions sometimes are, most times, are to have an opportunity at the NFL. And each one of them will probably be approached and be drafted differently. Each one of them has a different long-term career path. I don't know what each one of those is going to be. I just want them to feel good that I had a good experience in Georgia and that the Coach Smart staff at the University of Georgia has been there for me and has promoted me to give me this opportunity to go do what I want to do. I want to be there for these guys long beyond today when they get through playing.
I'll invite you to check out DogNation.com for a specific look at some of the guys that probably had pretty good days yesterday. Seems like Monty Rice did pretty well. I think Tyson Campbell's right there on NFL Draft radars. And I want to kind of highlight a couple of players in particular that Smart's probably thinking about when he says what he says there. First of all, Azeez Ojulari, who, you know, I just think looks like a tremendous NFL prospect. I'm admittedly not a neutral observer on that. I'm rooting for Ojulari, as I said. I think he validated his status as a first-round pick yesterday. And kind of interesting the conversation that's going on around Ojulari, different than I probably thought it would be, the notion of is he capable of being as versatile as someone drafted at his position needs to be. Azeez said yesterday that he's clearly looking to demonstrate that he's more than just a situational pass rusher. Ojulari from yesterday.
I just feel like my versatility and the way I use my hands and the way I could bend, I feel like I'm the most bendy and versatile. I got explosive first step. And I could also drop in coverage too. So just not getting the pass rusher out of me. You get all three downs. I can play all three downs for sure.
I don't pretend to be a scout, but I'm a little bit surprised that people are even questioning about Ojulari just because I'm just used to Georgia outside linebackers doing so many things over the course of a game. In fact, sometimes I wish they would be a little more situational type pass rushers because maybe Georgia could collect some more sacks that way. But in terms of versatile usage, I think that's what I've seen Ojulari be. He's certainly got the beef, I would say, to, you know, stop the run. He proved that at the SEC level. Looked great in a t-shirt yesterday, by the way, which I know sounds a little creepy, but just a really good-looking athlete right now. So I just think that whatever questions exist about Ojulari, I'm guessing he's answering them emphatically as he heads towards the NFL draft process. And big shout out to Eric Stokes here as well, a guy that really turned heads with a blazing fast 40 the other day, kind of matched that again yesterday, all indications are, from his pro day performance. And for Eric Stokes, who came to Georgia as a three-star, and many wondered, you know, would he ever even be, you know, the kind of player that could play regularly for Georgia, and turned out to be a lockdown cornerback, a tremendous player for the Dogs, overcoming really all kinds of doubters along the way. Some of those same doubters exist as he moves on to the NFL, and shutting up his critics is something that Eric Stokes is starting to get pretty used to. This is Eric Stokes about not really being considered at the top of the draft, even though he thinks he should be.
There's no surprise there. You already know, like, I'm always that underdog. I love that underdog role. So he keep me as underdog, keep doing all this stuff. You know, I'm totally fine with it because I know at the end of the day, pretty much like how they say, the cream will rise to the top. So eventually I'm a rise.
So listen, great stuff from Eric Stokes. I love the confidence there at the end. Eventually I'm going to rise, and I'll invite all of you because there's so many guys that went through this yesterday. I mentioned Rice, Ben Cleveland, very interesting story there. It's a lot for us to cover on one edition of our program, but the internet has infinite bandwidth, and there's all kinds of great stuff at dognation.com about everything that happened at UGA Pro Day yesterday. I truly hope you'll check it all out. So as we get ready to say goodbye here, let me remind you, for those of you who want to show off your Gatorade credentials, you can always hit me up, HMU, I guess the kids like to say, on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily, and we'll make you a part of our Gatorade roll call. We'll give you a golden shoe for showing off your Gatorade stuff here. And also, we continue to want to honor those who are doing everything they can to support Dog Nation. One of the great ways you can do that is by signing up to be a YouTube subscriber. If you want to get the notifications right when we go live on video, if you want to get all the content, all the press conference stuff from yesterday, it's right there at the Dog Nation YouTube page. So many of you have signed up to be a subscriber and getting those notifications turned on. So for those of you who continue to rush to the Dog Nation YouTube page to be a subscriber, you are our golden shoe winner here today. By the way, speaking of those lousy, stinking Gators, we close the show in style. Gator Hater Countdown, 226 days from right now. Georgia goes to Jacksonville. We think gets a big win over Florida. We'll see you tomorrow. Dog Nation Daily, presented by Merriweather and Tharp. And on the podcast, time now for our R.S. Andrews podcast cool down. This has been really fun for me over the course of the last couple of days. Get a chance to hear from some of you that don't get a chance to comment live during our video broadcast. Most of the people who consume the show don't consume it live anyway. So this is something we want to do. We're going to try to keep it short because I don't want the overall podcast to be too long. I've told you about why before on that. But over the course of time, I think we're going to do some fun things here that maybe are a little bit different than anything else we've done on any kind of platform before. So hopefully we can make this work, make people enjoy it, and introduce a few surprises along the way as a part of our podcast cooldown. Of course, this is not the kind of thing I can do on my own, so I appreciate those of you who are participating in this. You know, we post the show every day to the worldfamousdognation.com, and that gives you a chance to go into the comment section there in that post and write your thoughts about Georgia football, whatever they might be. Question for me, opinion about something you've heard on the show, whatever else, just any commentary you want to express. There, when the show is posted at dognation.com, it's a great place for you to put that. You can also hit me up on Twitter at dognationdaily and be a part of that there as well. Your comments are a big part of this. We'll read some of them here in just a moment. Also, before we're done, I am going to say something here on the podcast cooldown by way of announcement that I haven't made anywhere else, but I'm going to do this for you now. And then I'll do this for like the regular audience on the show in the days to come. So if you've stuck around this long on today's recording, you're going to get the chance to hear something you won't hear anywhere else. And I hope that you'll view that as good news. So we'll do that then. Let me start with this comment as a part of our R.S. Andrews podcast cooldown. And by the way, remind you that rsandrews.com, the place to turn for your air conditioning, heating, plumbing, and electric needs. They'll show up on time. They'll do the work that's promised for the price that's promised. We are about to enter into a season when the air conditionings are going to come on, and then they're going to stay on for the rest of the spring and summer. You understand that here in Georgia. R.S. Andrews knows that full well, too, and that's why they want to help you get your system tuned back up to factory fresh specs. If you have any kind of doubt that your system is ready to go for the warm weather season that's on the way, get the peace of mind you need with my friends at R.S. Andrews online at rsandrews.com. On yesterday's show, I made mention of Dan Mullen talking about being only 6 points away from Alabama. He was asked that question with the gap between Alabama and his team, Florida. Doggy riding into the comment section there at dognation.com says, oh yeah, Dan Mullen, there's a huge, you know, typically an 8-4 team, which Florida was this past year, 4-loss team, and a 13-0 Alabama team. He goes, yeah, those teams are typically very close to each other. In other words, that the number of losses that Florida suffered a year ago kind of prevents it from being too close to Alabama. And I think that he's probably right about that. But Doggy's comment also makes me think about something else too. That the way that Dan Mullen sees himself is so different than the way that other people kind of seem to see Dan Mullen. You know, we mentioned this when it comes to the Brandon Marcello piece at 247sports.com about how, you know, Florida's maybe closing the gap on Georgia and the SEC East from a talent standpoint. And Marcello talked about how, you know, Dan Mullen as an overachiever in Starkville is continuing to be an overachiever there at Florida, doing more than some people think that he's supposed to be able to, and kind of a plucky underdog persona that's been drawn of him by folks in the media. But I don't believe that's the way that Mullen wants to see himself. I think Mullen wants to see himself as kind of the brash, swashbuckling style coach that Florida once had with Urban Meyer and had before that with Steve Spurrier. I think Mullen kind of wants to be seen as the next in the line of all that. And I'm not saying he rejects the positive press sometimes he gets for the doing more with less during his career, but I think Mullen wants to be, he dressed up like Darth Vader in a press conference this year. I think Mullen kind of wants to be seen as sort of a Darth Vader-style figure, sort of a villainous-style figure, the kind of way that Florida always embraced that part of itself. You know, Steve Spurrier liked not being liked when he was the head coach of Florida. And I think that Urban Meyer, even though his style was different than Spurrier's, kind of liked some of that too, did not mind coming across as arrogant, did not mind coming across as, you know, better than you, the perception that's the way he viewed himself. And I think that Dan Mullen hopes to be seen in kind of that same vision. It's some of the brash behavior of his at Florida. That's the way that he kind of wants to be seen. So Mullen, I think, wants to cast the image of himself as certainly a lot more like, you know, what's going on in Alabama, the dominance of that program, as opposed to what a lot of folks say about Mullen on message boards, that is essentially taking a Mississippi State style mentality and brought that to the University of Florida. I don't believe that's the way that Dan Mullen wants to view himself, which obviously brings it back to the situation at Georgia, where, as I've told you before, there was a time in which maybe I would have said, hey, you know, keep Dan Mullen at Florida. He's, you know, losing three or four games every year, a couple of games at least, not a true long-term threat to Georgia, but maybe good enough to keep Florida fans happy. I don't really feel that way anymore. You know, I think that Dan Mullen wants to believe in his ability to coach his guys up, no matter what kind of talent level they may possess. And last year would give him some credence to say that he can do that. You know, he did win the SEC East. He did beat Georgia head-to-head, no matter what Georgia may have had going on regarding injury and everything else involved in all that. The door at least was left ajar for Dan Mullen to say, see, I can coach my guys up here at Gainesville. I think if you're Georgia, you want to shut down that narrative, and I truly believe that's what this year's game in Jacksonville is going to be all about. Our buddy Bud Weisendog, or I should say Bud Weisenberg, weighing in on the Twitter, hitting me up at Dog Nation Daily, talking about the mindset stuff. We addressed some of that kind of stuff yesterday. Bud Weisenberg weighed back in on that again today. And when it comes to the mentality these Georgia players approach the season with, I mean, I think the one thing that all players crave is a chance to have fun, right? They want football to be fun. And they'll work hard. They'll do whatever you ask of them as long as they think that there's some fun to be had on the other side of that as a reward. And when the game gets less fun, when the mood around a program gets unfun, if you'll allow me to make up that word, when that becomes the case, and all of a sudden you do have frayed edges of the bonds that hold this team together, and the chemistry suffers, and you know players maybe give less than their best. I think if you're a coach here in 2021, your job is to keep people plugged into a program by keeping making it fun, make it be the kind of thing you want to be a part of. So when we talk, as we did off the top of today's show, about you know engaging the pass rush as much as you possibly can, finding those explosive plays offensively as much as you possibly can, in addition to that being the kind of moments during a game that produce winning, I think it's also the kind of moments added together over the course of a season that can produce chemistry. People want to stay involved in groups of people and places where they're having fun. You don't see people easily run away from something that's fun. So in this age of opt-outs and guys leaving early and everything else going on, transfer portal and everything else, by keeping the Georgia program as fun as it can be, by making it even more fun than it's been in the past, in terms of the mental approach that you want to take to football, I think that becomes kind of an easy way to produce all of that, or maybe easier said than done, but certainly a very simple way to produce all of that, maybe to say that a little bit better way. So I appreciate you being here for our R.S. Andrews podcast cool down today. I'll take more of your comments sent to me on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily or in the comment section there when we post the show at dognation.com. I'll look forward to doing all of that. Let me also tell you about a couple of things here that I haven't told anybody else yet. I'm recording this on a Thursday. Tomorrow on the Dog Nation video channels, we're going to debut a brand new show. This is going to be really fun. It's going to be a spring preview series for now, which we hope to roll into the rest of the season. We're going to call this the Dog Nation Freeze Frame, looking at some key issues on the field for Georgia as it goes through the spring, as it heads towards the upcoming season. We think we have some fun content for this. That'll be myself and John Stinchcomb rolling that out tomorrow. Can't wait to debut that. That's going to be a ton of fun. Also, next Wednesday, once per week, starting next Wednesday. I'm really excited about this. And I haven't told anybody about this yet, but I'm really excited about this. Many of you have been with us for a number of years. You may remember SEC Country Live. A brand new version of SEC Country Live is going to begin next Wednesday. We're going to do it once per week in the afternoon. It'll be on the SEC Country video platforms, including Facebook and the SEC Country Live YouTube page. That is going to be so much fun to kind of get back into this SEC conversation for a lot of the folks who are fans of other teams other than Georgia, engage with some of them there again. It's going to be once per week. It starts next Wednesday. So that's going to be a ton of fun. I haven't told anybody about that yet, but that's next Wednesday starting at 3 p.m. on the SEC Country video platforms. And tomorrow at 3 p.m. on Friday, the debut of the Dog Nation Freeze Frame, myself, John Stinchcomb, a brand new show, different kind of concept than anything we've done before. I think that's going to be a ton of fun. So for those of you who've been kind enough to stick around for our podcast, Cool Down, wanted to give you some info I haven't given to anybody else yet. So that's good stuff. Thanks for being here. Check out R.S. Andrews online at rsandrews.com. If your water heater goes out, in many cases, R.S. Andrews can replace it for you the same day. That's what they do. They're just really good at air conditioning, heating, plumbing, and electric issues. They solve those problems for you. Story after story, they've been delivering a smile on a lot of folks' face, yours included, rsandrews.com for more on that. Thanks for being here. I'll see you tomorrow for the R.S. Andrews Cooldown once the show is done, and Dog Nation Daily presented by Meriwether and Tharp. Y'all have a great day, everybody.